You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. We're all fired up. Glad to be back. Every Monday, best and worst of the weekend, your chance to be part of the program, whether you dial us up, you email, or you tweet, or all the above. Say good morning to our great radio partners around the country. We're up over 370 cities around the country. Also, our TV partner, Peacock. McLovin, we'll have a play of the day. We got a stat of the day. And we got a poll question as well. All of that coming up. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this over three decades. And we probably had a 4 or 5 day stretch that I never thought would be happening. You had coaches fired, GMs fired. You had a guy playing quarterback who hadn't played quarterback and just pulled off a practice squad. You got a game moved. You got a team in San Francisco that doesn't have a home anymore. Other than that, just another regular weekend, right? And if you're looking for one game that encapsulates all the problems in the NFL with COVID, look no further than the Saints and Broncos on Sunday. After Jeff Driscoll tested positive, and each of the quarterbacks on the rosters were with him without mask on, and Denver was left without a quarterback. So they turned to a practice squad receiver, Kendall Hilton. He played that position in college. And he did his best. He didn't get one snap under center during the week. And they really didn't have a chance. They were blown out 31-3. And there's plenty of blame to go around. Denver head coach Vic Fangio said his quarterbacks were reckless. Others pointed to the NFL. They pushed back other games, but they didn't in this case. They really seemed determined to punish the Broncos, and they're really determined to get this season in on time. But the reality of the coronavirus might be it's going to get in the way. Sunday's game was a mess, but you get the feeling that's not the last time the league has to make a decision that no one is happy with. And when I'm watching this game, I love this tweet that was sent out. It was Kevin Clark, and he tweets out, "The idea of a game without quarterbacks is more fun than an actual game without quarterbacks." I'd love to see every team do this. Every team, like one Sunday out of the year. Every team has to play without a quarterback, a designated quarterback on their roster. I don't know what it'll look like, but yesterday with the Broncos, that was about as embarrassing as it can get. Now, Denver did the best that they could, but it felt like the NFL says, oh, you're not going to wear your mask in a room with all the quarterbacks, then you're going to basically be without quarterbacks here. Then you got the Ravens situation. Who knows? I think they're playing tomorrow, but I don't know. And then they were going to play on Thursday, but they're not playing on Thursday. It's a mess. And we're getting right up to the line. We're getting right up to that line where the NFL is going to have to add another playoff team and another week of games. I thought this was going to be the week where they just said, hey, you know what? We can't get these games in. The competitive balance is at stake. And really, that's the key. I don't want you to go full speed ahead like baseball did. Hey, we don't care how many games you play. Let's just get to the postseason. The NFL has to put out something that resembles NFL football. And they didn't do that. If you're a warm body, you're playing for the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow. That's the feeling I get. Maybe even if you're not that warm, you're still going to be playing for the Ravens. And to me, that's an embarrassment for the NFL. There were a couple of games that stood out. That Denver game certainly did. 49ers are now in a jam. That's a horrible, or I should say the Rams, a horrible loss for the Rams. You got to win those games. Where's your offense there? They had offense, and then they had no offense yesterday. Patrick Mahomes beats Tom Brady. In yesterday's loss, Tampa dropped to 1-5 this season against quarterbacks who have started Super Bowls. They lost to Drew Brees twice. And now they lost to Mahomes, Nick Foles, and Jared Goff. They did defeat Aaron Rodgers. Against all the other quarterbacks, they're 6-0. They still have to face Matt Ryan, though, again. Brady has thrown 11 interceptions this season, including 9 at home. That ties for the most picks he's had at home in any season. You go back to 2006 when he had 9. Kansas City kept them in the game. As great as Mahomes is and Tyreek Hill. By the way, I know Bruce Arians has forgotten more football than I know, but at some point I probably don't do man-to-man coverage on Tyreek Hill. I mean, call me crazy, but after he's got, I don't know, 200 receiving yards, I go, maybe we don't cover him with one guy straight up there. But they did, but they stayed in the game. You got Seahawks and Eagles tonight. I can't wait for the headline tomorrow because it's either going to be Carson Wentz did something really good, Wentz did something bad, Jalen Hurts did something really good, Jalen Hurts did something really bad. And then you throw in Russell Wilson. Can he add to what has been a MVP-like season? Any objections to what I said a couple of weeks ago? Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, and right now it's not even close, but he's underrated. Anybody? Yeah, exactly. You saw that yesterday. It's incredible what he's done. I don't know if the team is great, but he is, and Tyreek Hill is great. You still have Kelce in there. The defense is bendable, but it doesn't look like it's breakable. And that offense is good enough to get you. They're up 17-0. Now I make Brady one-dimensional. That completely changed the complexion of this. And I don't put all of this on Brady. I don't know what game Tony Romo was watching at times, because it felt like this was what I think happened. Now, I don't have any information. This is just me knowing what happens usually during the week. Tony Romo probably got on a Zoom call, Tom Brady, and they probably started chatting a little bit, as quarterbacks do. And then Tom probably said something, and then Tony said something. And man, that offense, and I don't know, is that the offense you ran in New England? Certainly looks different. Are they asking you to do different things? And then all of a sudden, Tom probably unloaded on him a little bit. And therefore, it felt like Tony Romo was going out of his way to say, this isn't on Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady picked Bruce Arians. Maybe he didn't have a lot to pick from, the Bears and the Chargers and Tampa, but he chose this. It's on him. That personality, that style, all of those weapons, that's on him. But it feels like there's a little bit of a fracture there, just a little bit, or at least there's some tremors there. But hey, by the way, Brady did congratulate Patrick Mahomes after the game, so there is progress there. Yes, Paulie.
Romo was crushing the Bucs in the first half, but then at the end of the game, he goes, these two teams are going to play again. And Nance was like, what was that tone?
They're not playing again this year. Tampa's going to be on the road for the playoffs, the entire playoffs. Kansas City, they might be on the road for a game if they end up in Pittsburgh. But Tampa, the way they're playing, I don't see that happening. Peter King will join us coming up in a little bit. We'll check in with the Buccaneers next hour. And Maurice Jones-Drew from the NFL Network will stop by. Your phone calls always welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. This program is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers. You can still celebrate the season with Christmas flower arrangements and more. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. See that radio icon. Enter the promo code Patrick. You are good to go. Poll question today, McLovin.
Okay, do you want to start negative or positive?
Well, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Let's start negative.
Okay. Let's just jump into which coaching vacancy would you want? Because all of a sudden, there's about 10 of them, possibly. The Jets, is it looking like they'll have Trevor Lawrence? Is that going to be the spot?
You know what? There are people actually think the Jets have a little bit more than what they show. That it's not you open up the cupboard and there's nothing in there. That it feels like there's a little more there. I get nervous with the front office and the ownership part of that. If I bring somebody in and they get Trevor Lawrence, are they going to get full autonomy there? Or how much autonomy do they get? But I don't know if you can get a new owner. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen. What else, McLovin?
Wait, are you saying that they are tanking, basically? Like they have more talent than they're showing?
No. Right now it might be systemic, where it's just that malaise that's over a franchise and it's been there for a long time. But I don't think it's – I think they're better than a winless team. Let me put it that way. That doesn't mean that they're, you know, that much better than Jacksonville, and they have one win. But from what I'm told, that there are NFL personnel people who look at the Jets and say, it's not as dire as you think. They seem to be pathetic, but they're not.
The other teams on that list were the Jags, the Falcons may or may not be open now because Raheem Morris is doing a nice job. The Lions just opened and the Texans are still open. Is there like a plum job out of that group?
You know, once Bill O'Brien was shown the door, the Texans have played pretty well. I just don't like, you know, some salary cap issues there. You know, Deshaun Watson has played pretty well. J.J. Watt's not going to be there next year. But, you know, they traded away DeAndre Hopkins. They don't have much to show for that. Are you sold on Will Fuller? I don't know. It feels like Eric Bieniemy is going to get an opportunity to pick where he wants to go. But, you know, if Atlanta acts like I think Atlanta's going to, and that is they're going to reel off like four or five in a row and probably beat Tampa one of these two games, then, you know, maybe Raheem Morris keeps that job. I don't know. But Jacksonville, if you don't get the number one pick, you get the number two pick. And are you sold on Justin Fields after what you saw a couple of weeks ago? By the way, I have some information on the Big Ten and Ohio State, and it's not good news for Ohio State. I'll have that for you. I have that for you coming up in a little bit. I forgot all about it. I got this text from my college football insider, and he laid it out in pretty stark terms here. Yeah, Paulie.
Is this news going to make Northwestern really upset, if you know what I mean? That they could have had an easier path.
I don't know. Maybe. Terrible loss by Northwestern. Terrible loss. Terrible. But you're going to have openings here. You're in college football, I mean, when you think about it, Vandy, South Carolina, their jobs are open. Is Texas open? Is Michigan open? Is Auburn open? Is Tennessee open? Going to have a lot of marquee openings here in college football. Yes, McLovin.
But I keep asking, you know, don't they get a pass this year because of everything that's going on? Can you really, in college, fire your coach despite the circumstances?
I guess it depends on how long you've been there and do you see a light at the end of the tunnel? Yeah. If you say, okay, what's the excuse with Michigan with COVID? What's Penn State's excuse?
Well, they lost Micah Hyde, right? I don't think their best player and their second best player, the running back. Micah Parsons, sorry. And their second best player, the running back, had a heart condition.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. I mean, that's a good excuse.
Okay. You're still Penn State. James Franklin is a successful coach. He's been there for a few years. What's Jim Harbaugh's excuse? He doesn't have a quarterback. What did COVID have to do with that? These are all his players. That has nothing to do with this. I think if you're a coach and you're not playing well, you're going to lean on COVID. But, you know, the coach at Coastal Carolina, is he leaning on this? BYU? You know, run down the list of all these. Cincinnati. How they somehow had a great season. Are they leaning on COVID? So if you're going to lean on it when you're losing, then you get extra credit when you win with COVID. But no, I think the Big Ten's got some issues here coming up. What else do you have, McLovin?
Are you in favor of the NFL expanding to 16 playoff teams now? Now, as I understand, you said the rule is if there's a week 18 that they'll add an extra playoff team. I asked, why not just go for it now because it's such an unusual season anyway and get a couple more, give more teams a chance?
Well, I would do it, but I would have probably postponed this week. I would have tried to give these teams a chance to hit the reset button and get as many teams as healthy as possible. You're, you know, three quarters of the way through the season. And at some point, we knew that this was going to be an issue. It happened sooner than I thought it was. It happened sooner than a source said with the NFL that it was going to happen. And now it gets really dicey here. But I think you're going to see the NFL probably add a week 18 here. And that way they can allow these teams to exhale a little bit. Because after what we saw this weekend, I think they needed to do it. Yeah, Seton.
But is that the kind of thing, like, can you expand the playoffs in the NFL for just one season and then go back the next year to normal?
Usually not.
I don't think that you would be able to.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, just like baseball when they said, hey, we're going to 16 teams. And then rarely do you go and then you backtrack a little bit. You know? And it feels like the NFL, you didn't get any fans in the stands. Now I get an extra, round of playoffs or extra teams in there, extra revenue in there. And it feels like, just like college football. If college football could ever get their act together and not move at a snail's pace, then they probably could have been able to do their, 12 or 18 playoffs. This would have been the year to do it. Yeah, Paulie.
Do you think that commissioner ego plays in at all, that Roger Goodell and his guys want to play as tight and unchanged of a season as they can and say, like, look what we did. We're the NFL. We didn't bubble. We didn't switch things around by months. We didn't take a break. Any chance there's ego involved?
Well, I'm sure, because it's the NFL, but you can also, that ego can come back and bite you where it's embarrassing what you're trying to do and force this in. And I got that feeling with the NFL this past weekend. Denver may have brought this on itself, but that game should not have been played. Baltimore, we're going to move it, and then we're going to move it. Now we're going to play Tuesday. That shouldn't be played, in my opinion, should not be played. But the NFL wants to have this on time, and everything that they've done this year, we're going to have everything as scheduled. Might not look the same. Everything's going to be scheduled, and that's what they want to do. But I think we're going to get to the point, a breaking point, where we're going to have an 18-week added to the schedule. All right, we'll take a break. Peter King will join us coming up. We'll talk to him about some of these issues that we saw. Was the NFL punishing the Broncos? Seahawks-Eagles is a big game tonight. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to play a whole lot more than Doug Peterson is letting on. Ravens-Steelers is supposed to be on Tuesday. We'll recap all of that. Your phone calls are welcome. Best and worst of the weekend, 18 after the hour. Just getting started on this Monday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Sleep, quality sleep, more important than ever as we head into wintertime. Not only is it a natural immunity booster, but it also helps with energy and recovery. When we sleep, our brains begin a highly orchestrated, intricate dance of complex activities that fuel our waking life. Throughout the night, we cycle in and out of two stages of sleep. Slow wave sleep, SWS, doesn't get as much credit as rapid eye movement, REM. The brain processes complex stimuli while asleep and uses this information to help you make the right decisions when you're awake, unless you're Todd. That's why you need to get a great night's sleep. You can discover the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed for game-changing sleep. My brother called me over the weekend, and he was at a Sleep Number store, and he goes, "Hey, what's your sleep number?" I go, "None of your business." He goes, "No, what is it? I'm at the Sleep Number store." I said, "100. He goes, "Okay." And then he hung up. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed for a limited time only. Sleep Number, Sleep Number store, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. What's the difference between an AMG skeptic and an AMG believer? A split second. The time that takes to fire up the ignition, step on the gas, and hear that gutsy engine roar. Go to MBUSA.com, AMG, Mercedes-AMG Driving Performance. I would say that he eats and sleeps and drinks football, but he doesn't get to sleep. He's Peter King, the Football Morning in America columnist, NBCSports.com. Pete joins us now. Pete, explain the Denver Broncos situation and why this game was played.
Well, because on October 13th, Roger Goodell sent an email, sort of a manifest about the way he wanted the rest of the NFL season to go. And he said in that document very clearly that although many of us in the media had speculated, because there's a lot of people in the league who wanted it this way, we had speculated that if a position group gets knocked out, they're going to postpone the game and they'll make it up in week 18. And Roger Goodell sent out this memo that said, no, this is why you have been handed a 16-person practice squad. You figure a way to, if you get your offensive line wiped out, you figure a way to get an offensive line to be ready to play. And the same thing happened with Denver. You know, Bill Polian, who's an advisor to Goodell this year, told me yesterday, essentially, hey, Bruce Arians has one of his quarterbacks set apart from all the other quarterbacks so that if they test positive, he'll always have one. And he said the Broncos chose not to do that. If he was saying everything that he wanted to say, he would have said, dumb move by the Broncos. But in reality, Dan, it kind of was. So teams have been on notice for 6 weeks that if they get a position group wiped out, they're still going to have to play. And Dan, this all goes back to something that Goodell told me right around Labor Day, and that is there is no guarantee that that the disease, that the virus is going to get any better anytime soon. And we're seeing that right now. It's getting worse every week rather than getting better. So the NFL's view is we would rather see a compromised football game than push the season back a week and risk not being able to finish the season.
But what do you think it's going to take for the commissioner to have that, add that extra week and maybe that extra playoff team in each conference?
What it would take, I believe, is an outbreak such as Baltimore's, but an outbreak such as Baltimore's that shows no signs of flagging. So in other words, you know, the outbreak in Baltimore is now getting less. There were two more players added to it Saturday, one on Sunday. And the Ravens have been told flat out by Alan Sills and the people inside the NFL, look, we see this going away. You know, we think we have this virus contained. Now, if they were in the middle of it and every day they're getting 8 or 10 more people put on the list, that is when I believe the NFL would say, we got to create a week 18. If and only if that the games have some playoff significance. If Jacksonville and the Jets, I don't even know if they're playing, but if Jacksonville and the Jets had a game canceled or a game postponed, they wouldn't make up the game.
Talking to Peter King, his column must read, Football Morning in America. I'm trying to figure out, if I feel like I know the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Like, I figure the Kansas, like, I'm just not quite sure. So let me start with the Buccaneers. Where do you stand with them of where they are now and maybe bigger picture here?
I mean, the incredible thing about the Bucs is that there have been times this year where Brady has been in total concert with the play calling and his receivers. I can think of 3 or 4 games where he's looked absolutely marvelous. And then there are times when, you know, the ball is falling 5 yards in front of his receivers and you're saying, what just happened? I think it has something to do with two things, Dan. Number one, Tom Brady is a guy who loves to throw the football. I'm talking about during the week, in practice, in the off season. Even at the age of 43, he is throwing pain-free. And, you know, because he's got his mechanics worked on with Tom House, and he's throwing the ball and he's so comfortable with it that when he was in New England, you know, he would throw maybe not year round, but close to it. And that would allow him to get, you know, form such a great bond with his receivers. The year that Chris Hogan came in, for instance, as a free agent, and then in the Super Bowl comeback against Atlanta, that was his big season. I remember saying to Brady after the season, how did you get in such great chemistry with Chris Hogan and with Malcolm Mitchell, that guy who had the 1 year run with the Patriots? How did you? And he said, you know, 122 practices. He knew how many practices he had. And so in the off season, that's part of his time with his receivers. And although they did some stuff off the field, it wasn't organized. And Arians and Leftwich weren't there. So I think that's part of it. And I think the other part of it is, too, that defenses know exactly how to play Tom Brady right now. And what they're doing is they're taking advantage of the fact that Arians loves to throw the ball deep. And so he doesn't really get the amount of protection that some teams would give. For instance, keeping in a second tight end to help Brady, like a sixth offensive lineman. In my opinion, that's what they should do more of right now to help Brady have a chance to be more of Brady this year. But you're right. I from week to week, it's hard to know what to expect from them.
Yeah, I'm watching yesterday, and Tony Romo went out of his way to basically say, I'm not putting this on Tom Brady. I'm putting this on Bruce Arians and this offensive game plan. Tom Brady knew what he was signing up for. He knew what he was signing up for Bruce Arians. He knew what he was signing up with his offensive philosophy, right?
Well, he did, but let's be honest about this. Part of this was about a lifestyle change and the fact that, as he told me in the summer, he said, you know, this is my 30th year in football, and it's the first season I'm ever entering with an offensive head coach. His high school, college, and professional head coaches have all been defensive guys. So that was part of it. And the second part is, Dan, tell me how many options he had. You know, I think that he wishes the Indianapolis Colts were interested, because that, I think he would have loved to have worked with Frank Reich. But the Colts weren't interested. And so, you know, I think you have to look at your situation and what options you have. And look, I think that this has a chance to turn out okay. It may be not Super Bowl okay, but better than it looks right now. Because I just, when you count out Tom Brady, you usually are disappointed.
Do you think Brady's better than Phillip Rivers?
Today, right now, I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was surprised. I know Tom reached out to the Colts, or at least I was told that, and the Colts basically, they had already made up their mind they were going with Phillip Rivers.
I think that was easy, though, Dan, because of Frank Reich's history with Phillip Rivers.
Is Carson Wentz benchable?
He should be. You know, just...
Financially?
Well, financially, it's going to hurt if you put him on the bench, obviously. But, you know, look, it's almost like, you know, the Chicago Bears hoping against hope week after week after week, all of last year, basically, you know, oh, geez, you know, Trubisky's going to come out of it early this year. Trubisky's going to come out of it. And, you know, at some point you have to say, what's the best thing to win the game this week? And in my opinion, I think Doug Peterson, it's long past time. It's 2 weeks past time to consider playing Jalen Hurts.
What are the Niners going to do?
I think they're going to argue with the county in Santa Clara. And obviously you saw last night, they're extremely upset with them because instead of telling them what they were going to do, they issued a press release.
Yeah.
They're going to argue with them that, look, we have done a great job in, you know, in keeping our facility clean, blah, 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 blah. But if they lose, you know, I've always thought that the best place for them to go was Arizona because of the multiple places they could find to work and the ready-made NFL stadium. I have no idea what the stadium in San Diego looks like right now, Dan. But I think it makes more – and I have no idea what the Oakland Coliseum looks like right now. Could the Oakland Coliseum be in shape to play a football game that the 49ers need on Sunday? They need to win a game, you know, the next 2 weeks to stay in this playoff hunt. And they're home the next 2 weeks. And I think it'll be difficult. That's why I think they got to go to a ready-made NFL stadium. Arizona makes the most sense to me.
Why did the Lions now realize they needed to move on from Matt Patricia?
They were, you know, look, it's an inexperienced owner. She just got the team this year. She doesn't know what she doesn't know. Sheila Ford Hamp. She just doesn't know. And so she wanted to give her team a chance, as big a chance as she could. And then when she saw what happened the last 2 weeks, she said, this is unfixable. And it probably was going to be unfixable anyway. But I think she just said, I want to give this, you know, my people as much of a chance as they deserve.
Where do you think is going to be the best opening, head coach wise?
Houston. I wrote this morning that, you know, I think it would be so cool to see Eric Bieniemy graduate from Patrick Mahomes to Deshaun Watson. Can you imagine you're an offensive coordinator and then you're a head coach and the two quarterbacks in the prime of your career are Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? It'd be incredible. And so I always will go for the place that has the young quarterback under contract and a clean slate. The other thing about Houston, you know, Houston is a wounded animal right now. You know, they need to be totally rebuilt. So the fact that they don't have a one or a two this year, Dan, wouldn't really bother me. I think that's an attractive job.
Yeah, it makes me nervous, though, with no draft picks and salary cap issues and J.J. Watt. What do you do with him? I love Deshaun Watson, but would the Jets be a better opening with a clean slate with a quarterback on a rookie contract?
I mean, look at the New York Jets. You know, they choose Adam Gase over Matt Rhule, and they could have had Matt Rhule. And I'm not saying Matt Rhule is Paul Brown, but he's better than Adam Gase. And they were just comfortable with taking an NFL coach. And, you know, it's turned out to be a disaster. I have faith in Joe Douglas. I think Joe Douglas is really good. But there are issues inside that organization. There just are. There always have been. There's a reason why Bill Belichick resigned as the HC of the NYJ. And, you know, somebody has to take that franchise by the neck and shake it and say, this is my team. It's got to be a very strong personality. And so to me, I don't think it's hopeless with the Jets, but I do think that I'd rather go to a place where I know the quarterback is really good already.
Hey, what do you think of Jim Harbaugh coaching the Lions?
I mean, first of all, so much of getting a coach, I don't want to say winning the press conference, but, you know, I'm not saying he got run out of town on a rail in San Francisco, but they were happy to see him go at the end. Jim Harbaugh is not for everybody. He's very, very rough. And I wonder how he would be in a losing atmosphere. Plus, the other thing about the Lions is, what are you going to do with Matthew Stafford? And I don't think Matthew Stafford is bad in any way, shape, or form. But Danny's been the quarterback of that team for 12 years, and they've never won anything. Yeah. And I'm not saying I understand, oh, quarterback wins isn't a stat. I get it. But can you please lift your franchise once, just once? And he just has never done it. So now what do you do? Do you keep him at $35 million next year, or do you get rid of him and take a $25 million cap hit? And it's not going to be a horrible thing if you draft a quarterback to train. You don't want to go out and sign a free agent quarterback for money. You want to draft a young quarterback, and you want to get him ready to go in your system. And that's probably what I would do right now if I were the Detroit Lions. I'd start fresh everywhere.
And I was told prior to the draft, I wondered if they kicked the tires on Tua in Detroit. And then I was told that the front office, like everybody knew their jobs were at stake this year if they didn't win. And if you did take Tua, you had your quarterback of the future, but you might not be there in the future with him.
Can you imagine right now if they had Tua and not Jeff Okuda, who, hey, look, it's been 11 games, but he's been a total non-impact player. Yeah. And we'll see what the future brings. And the only reason you draft Jeff Okuda is because the head coach was at war with Darius Slay, and they had to get rid of him. They couldn't re-sign him. So, you know, that era had to end. And obviously, in retrospect, they should have taken Tua.
And I'm kind of bummed out after talking to you, Pete. I don't know if we had any good news here.
Can we just mention Patrick Mahomes and how watching him every week is a gift the way Bulls fans used to have with Michael Jordan?
But it took us a little while to take Mike for granted. I said this a month ago. I said, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. if we want to do this week to week where we go, who's the MVP and who's in and who's Patrick Mahomes is like, it's not even close right now. I don't think what he does.
Well, it's a 16 game award. And I think after 6 weeks, I definitely would have voted for Russell Wilson.
Okay.
Today, I would vote for Mahomes and Rodgers, and Wilson would be second and third in some order. But you're right. I'm voting for the MVP every year. I'm not saying, Mahomes won it 3 years in a row. I'm not voting for him this year. I'm voting for somebody else. That's not the way you do it. Every single year is a snowflake. It's an individual entity. It's different. And if he's the MVP, vote for him. But look, right now, today, entering December, he is the MVP.
30 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And it doesn't look difficult.
That's the amazing thing. Everything comes easy to him. Dan, last week, they're in Vegas, okay? And they're down, they're down by 4 points at 3 different points of the second half. And each time they go down 4, he comes back with a drive of over 70 yards. And you're right. It just does not look hard. It's the amazing part of watching him play. It's a gift. And look, Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable too. He's absolutely fantastic. And he is carrying that team as well as Mahomes is with Kansas City. So sometimes you forget about Rodgers, but he's unbelievably good.
Thank you, Pete. Thanks for staying up. And you can read the column Football Morning in America. Thank you again, Pete.
All the best, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. All right. I don't want to appear to be piling on here. Okay, I like Jared Goff. I like him as a person. I like him as a quarterback. I liked him in college at Cal. 8 straight games for Jared Goff, scoring 30 points or less. But 3-3 in his last 6 starts, the Rams averaging just 21 points during that stretch. Jared Goff in wins versus losses this season. In 7 wins, 11 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. In 4 losses, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. A total of 9 giveaways in the wins, 5 total giveaways. That's the difference between a great quarterback and a good quarterback, being consistent. And Mojo, he's the Rams color analyst, so he's going to stick up for his guy. I got that. But Carson Wentz was playing at an MVP level. He got hurt in the game against the Rams. He was going to be the MVP that season. Has he been anywhere near that? No, he has not. But at least he gave me a higher ceiling. And that's what I'm looking for. All of these quarterbacks. A higher ceiling. How high can you take that ceiling? And Carson Wentz has gone there, but he may never get there again. So, and I would not pay a running back. Alvin Kamara is not your typical running back. Alvin Kamara is a wide receiver out of the backfield. He's extremely valuable, and I would pay him. Christian McCaffrey gets too many touches, and I worry about that, just durability. He got a ton of touches in college as well. Derrick Henry, he didn't get all of the carries at Alabama, but, he's a big guy who's still running hard. After you get paid, running backs get that first contract or the second contract, then they stop running. They don't run as hard. Derrick Henry still runs hard. Given who he is for that team, I would have paid him because that is your philosophy. That is your offensive attack. But Zeke Elliott, no, I'm not paying him that money. Monday Night Football, it's going to be fun. And we'll see how long Carson Wentz, how short is that string attached to him where they pull him over the sidelines and send in Jalen Hurts. I'm guessing Jalen Hurts gets to play a considerable amount here. Throw them in there. Let's see what we got. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
Got a couple, Dan. 1971, ABC aired the movie Brian's Song, the movie about Chicago Bears running back Brian Piccolo and his relationship with Gale Sayre. Sorry, I couldn't even read the list day in history without choking up. This is pretty good. 1993, the NFL awarded the league's 30th franchise to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Your Jaguars.
That's it.
That's it.
McLevin, Final results of the poll question.
So I switched it up to Jeff in Detroit's poll. Who needs a second Super Bowl win? Aaron Rodgers, 52%, then Russell Wilson right behind him at 38%.
33 years ago today, Bo Jackson ran through Brian Bosworth. Remember that at the in the end zone? Right at the end zone? It was supposed to be the irresistible force, immovable object. The object moved. It was downhill for there from there for Bosworth. Let's go around the room. What we learned on this award-nominated program. Todd, since you're here in the man cave with me.
You don't think Ohio State passes the eye test right now to be in the college football playoff?
No, they don't. And they're probably, if the game gets canceled this weekend against Michigan State, they're probably not going to be able to play for the Big Ten championship. Doesn't mean they won't be in the Final Four. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I was noticing this about the NFC East. The four teams are combined 14-28-1. And in the next 7 days, they're underdogs in every game they play. Seattle at Philadelphia. Seattle's the favorite. Next week, Philadelphia will be at Green Bay. They'll be an underdog. Washington will be at Pittsburgh. The Giants will be at Seattle. Dallas at Baltimore, assuming Baltimore gets some of its players back. The leader of the NFC East could enter week 14 with a 4-8 record. I believe it was back in September when I said to Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, we're probably going to know in November just how good this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team is. Well, it's late November, Rick. I don't know if we know how good this Tampa Bay team is. Thanks for joining us. Where do you think they stand in the pantheon of NFC teams right now?
They're the masters of meh. They're just not very good. You know, they're average or a little bit above. Look, they played some tough teams, right? The last couple of weeks, I mean, they had a couple of three-point games against the Rams and then the Chiefs. And they just haven't started games well. I think they've been outscored like 49-7 in the first quarter of their last four games. And when you start games like that, when you don't convert third downs, I mean, yesterday they had one conversion in the first four series. And, you know, they've added so many pieces, Dan. Antonio Brown. There was this blitz early in the game where you can see, you know, Brown just goes out and he doesn't recognize the blitz. And you know, Brady's yelling. It's like Vince Vaughn in The Wedding Crashers. Hot route, you know. It's like, I don't know what you mean. What's a hot route? Like, so it's just been kind of grab bag like that. And you know, they've got a bye week. They need it and they got to get it together.
But you have more questions about the offense or defense?
I got more questions about the offense because I think they go hand in hand. I think when and look, we can get into Todd Bowles' brilliant scheme of trying to cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one, which, hey,
wow.
I haven't watched a lot of football, but I know I wouldn't try that.
Wow.
And I wouldn't let it go, you know, guy do 200 yards in the first quarter. But I really do think that it's, you know, when you're playing a team that can score like Kansas City or for that matter like the Rams, you know, you have to make first downs. You can't hang those guys out to dry. And in both games, they made adjustments on defense and allowed them with some turnovers to get back in those games. So it's really complimentary football, and the offense isn't complimenting anybody right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this team out. And when I saw Tyreek Hill get loose, and I go, okay, they're going to shore that up. And then he got loose again. And then he got loose again. And then again. And I go, am I the only guy here saying maybe not single coverage, man-to-man, that maybe we should have two guys on him? Or how about our center fielder is so deep that there's no chance he could get behind him? Did they figure out how to – maybe Tyreek Hill was too tired after the first quarter, but did the defense, did they figure out a little bit more of a game plan on what to do against Kansas City? Should they meet again?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I think, to be honest with you, when you talk to them, they were, believe it or not, a little more concerned with Travis Kelce. So when they were playing single high, he was shading towards the tight end. That's just a bad plan. And I don't know why they didn't adjust sooner. The first play is a 34-yard completion that nobody covered him. So how you hide the fastest guy in the NFL, I don't know. I felt sorry for Carlton Davis. Look, Todd Bowles has done some good things this year. That wasn't one of them for sure. But then they dialed up some pressure, I think, on Mahomes. Man, that guy's great, though. Even when you get there, he just keeps backing up and he throws the ball 25 yards on a dime. And it's just impressive to watch. So They definitely need a better game plan against the Chiefs if they were to see him. But then they'd be happy to see him because it would be the Super Bowl, right?
Okay, I think that I'm going to play this Patrick Mahomes bite. And you were there, but just to let the fans hear this, I thought Patrick Mahomes did a site survey of the Super Bowl. You know, you go down there just in case you're going to be playing in the Super Bowl. Here's Patrick Mahomes on getting familiar with Tampa.
You get a familiarity with the stadium, with the process of going to the hotel in the city. And that's definitely something that eases your mind when you try to get to the Super Bowl. If you know you've been in this place before and you understand what kind of the pregame and stuff like that happens. And then to beat a good football team, that's a really good football team with a lot of talented players. That's a great thing about football and the NFL is you build and build and try to execute and be the best at the end of the season.
What? That it was like they did a walkthrough and they won an NFL game.
He is so going back. he knows he's going back. And, you know, he probably did scout out the restaurants while he was here. Wow. I did see him come out earlier than I've seen most quarterbacks. Now, maybe this is his routine. You know, I mean, Brady gets to the stadium about 4.5 hours before the game and walks around in his street clothes. But Mahomes did survey the field. I mean, he went end to end with really very little players out there.
He did that during the game too, Rick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I said to you, Tampa now or the Saints with Taysom Hill, who do you like?
Oh, Tampa. That's a good one. It's hard to beat Sean Payton and Taysom Hill. I think by the end of the season, the Bucs may get it together, especially these last 4 weeks. But right now, you'd have to take the Saints, right? They're a better team than the Bucs. I mean, they beat them twice convincingly. I know they had Drew Brees in one. But, I guess I would go Saints. And look, 2020 continuity, Dan. I mean, look at the teams that are winning, right? Teams that have coach and quarterback for the most part or systems that have been together, whether it's the AFC, the NFC. I don't think that's a surprise. And I think, you know, with Brady, I heard you talk to Peter King earlier. He's right. He wants that time to be with his guys, and he just hasn't been, and now they've added some more pieces.
Is everything okay, though, with Brady and Bruce Arians? I mean, Brady knew what he was getting himself into, but did he really know what he was getting himself into?
Well, like, you know, win or lose, we booze, man. I mean, it's like I think he knew. He had to have talked to Peyton Manning and those guys. I know everybody asks me every time Bruce Arians calls him out, you know, how can he do this to Tom Brady? And I would just say that, like, if Brady didn't know that, then he did no research. I mean, and I think there's a part of Brady, not that he likes to have to field questions from us about it, but that, you know, he wants the other guys on his team to see that he's being held as accountable as everybody else. I mean, that's big for Tom. Tom wants to assimilate into the team. So I know that apparently Tony Romo was all over Arians' offense. I'm not naive to think that, like, I agree with you. They probably had a discussion. And there is a desire of Tom for them to move closer to what he wants to do. But in Bruce's offense, Tom's getting hit a lot. And nobody likes to get hit because he gets so many guys out. They're going to have to make some adjustments with protection because when he has it, he's very, very good.
He's Rick Stroud. He covers the Buccaneers, covers the NFL, Tampa Bay Times writer. I'm looking at this Steeler-Ravens situation, and I don't know what else can they do? They canceled the Ravens practice this morning. They got snow in the forecast tomorrow in Pittsburgh. They're not sure about traveling. They got a depleted roster there. Feels like the NFL is somehow, some way going to get this game in. But should they?
Well, I mean, we just saw them play a game with no quarterbacks. I mean, they really, you know, it seems to me like the NFL's whole goal is play the season. We don't care. We don't want to miss any games if we can avoid that. And we'll see who shows up in Tampa. I mean, I really believe that. I don't think they mind. They've warned these teams. It's going to happen. We're waiting for the first cancellation. Maybe this is it. I mean, this game was supposed to be played almost a week ago. But COVID is a problem, so much so that Bruce Arians really is concerned. The one message he left his team with after the game was, hey, forget about everything else. Don't let the virus beat us because these teams come off of bye weeks, and very often that's usually what starts to spread.
Yeah, and I wonder if the NFL really wants to get a team's attention – it's not fining a team $500,000 and taking away a seventh-round draft pick. When you forfeit a game and you lose a paycheck, now all of a sudden people realize, oh, my gosh, there's a whole lot at stake here. But in the interim, it just feels like, you know, we're going to plow through it somehow, some way.
Well, and I don't know, you know, what the TV contract says and whether you're giving money back to the networks if you cancel the game or not. But I imagine there's some financial stake there. So, yeah, they're going to play. Look, we've seen the league play with plan B, with scab players before. And they played with, this league has a history of just playing games. So I don't think that's going to change. But, yeah, at some point you wonder just how much watered down is the product going to be.
And you get a bye week for the Buccaneers, so everybody gets to talk about this loss. It feels like it's going to be two losses after everybody gets through dissecting what went wrong.
Yeah, it really will. And there'll be more heat dialed up on Bruce Arians. But the fact is that they've got the Vikings, who, if they beat Jacksonville, could put themselves back in it, winning 5 out of 6. But then it's Atlanta twice. You know, Raheem Morris has done a good job there. And then they got Detroit. So those are four games, Dan, that they should be favored in. The Vikings is at home. If they win 3 out of 4, they're going to make the playoffs. Right now, they're still the sixth seed. They would probably go to Green Bay, which they've beaten, which would be a nice climate for them. But look, if we thought they were going to run the table and be the number one seed in the NFC, we were kidding ourselves. I still think there's a lot for them to play for, and I'm not giving up. I don't think anybody should give up on Tom Brady just yet.
Great to talk to you again, Rick. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
That's Rick Stroud. Covers the NFL, Tampa Bay Times writer. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. I had very low expectations with Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. exhibition. When they attached exhibition to it, I went, okay, maybe they'll dance around a little bit. And then Mike got in there, and you could tell that Mike, he wanted to put on a little bit of a show there. Chris Mannix covers the NBA and boxing for Sports Illustrated. So who came away the biggest winner in that fight on Saturday night?
Oh, I think Mike Tyson did. I was with you. Extremely low expectations coming in. But Tyson was in great shape, and he was throwing punches that if they connected cleanly, they could have knocked Roy Jones out. And that was really the biggest source of entertainment from it. I mean, Roy looked like he hadn't been like in an Equinox for the last 3 years. Whereas Mike, for 8 rounds, looked like he was in shape. I mean, I don't know if you watched all the way through, Dan, at the interview where Jim Gray's talking to Roy and he's talking about a rematch and he's still gasping. And this was like 10 minutes after the fight was over, whereas Mike is like bouncing around and saying he's going to do this again. This was a much better event than I expected. It had everything to do with Tyson.
Could Tyson get back in the ring and fight legitimately? No.
No, under no circumstances.
Okay.
He can swing wildly and try to connect on Roy Jones, but the volume of punching isn't there. The power certainly isn't there for a real heavyweight. He goes in with, let's use Anthony Joshua as an example, it ends in a really bad way. So, look, if he wants to go on, like, the Mike Tyson revenge tour and fight, like, Evander Holyfield, next year, and then fight Lennox Lewis the year after that, and maybe cap it off in, with Danny Williams, who knocked him out right before the end, Kevin McBride, I mean, go ahead. I mean, that I think would do not the kind of business this one probably did, but it would be okay. But I think everyone in Tyson's orbit understands, and Tyson too, that you stay away from real fights.
Yeah, Paulie brought this up, I think, on Wednesday, that how would Tyson, what if he got in with Tyson Fury? And I go, oh no, Paulie, that would be so, it would be ugly.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because
I mean, Fury, Dan, is 6'9", and he'd just pepper Mike to death with, Fury's the kind of guy, and I know him a little bit, like he wouldn't go out there and try to hurt Mike Tyson, but it would just be however many rounds of Fury just ricocheting his jab off Tyson's head. It wouldn't be entertaining.
I like that everybody came out of the woodworks after this YouTube sensation Jake Paul knocks out poor Nate Robinson. Now everybody wants to fight Jake Paul. Jake Paul have actual boxing talent?
I said this for weeks leading up to that fight, that Nate Robinson was making a mistake. I actually broadcasted Jake Paul's first fight. He did it back in January in a YouTube fight on DAZN. And look, Jake's not a real fighter, but Jake can fight a little bit. And look, he's trained by BJ Flores, who's a former boxer. He's been doing this for a while. Nate's a phenomenal athlete, maybe one of the great you know, sort of under 6 foot athletes ever, you know, as a football player and a basketball player, but you don't play boxing, get said over and over again. And I said it, I said, he's going to get knocked out cold. And sure enough, he was. Now, the referee didn't do him any favors. Like, after that second knockdown, where Nate got up at 9 and then just started wandering around the ring blindly, any other fighter does that in a real fight, the referee waves it off. But they let Nate continue, and then like a minute later, he gets face-planted and becomes a meme. So, you know, too bad for Nate. I feel bad for him because the referee didn't do him any favors.
I thought Snoop Dogg was the star. I don't know if you could see him do other sports commentary, but Snoop had a little fun.
Well, first of all, you can't do other sports commentary as stoned as Snoop was. Second, you can't swear as much as he did. And third, everything else was fine. Like, I mean, his comment about two uncles trying to get a barbecue was great. Like, I think he said something when Nate was unconscious. He's like, Nate's from the hood. He'll shrug that off. While Nate was down for 4 minutes, like, you know, Snoop was awesome. But I think this kind of event is the only one that Snoop can do.
I don't know if they drug test you before you go into the booth, though. Just letting you know, Mannix.
Well, you'd have to ask Mike Breen next time you talk to him if there's, you know, any kind of marijuana test. I mean, maybe in boxing you can do it, but if Triller does this again, and look, this is a Mike Tyson league that just started, the Legends Only League, which incredibly has an acronym of LOL, which is just the worst acronym in the world. Like, supposedly there's going to be more of these, and Snoop should be a part of them.
What's Tyson's next fight?
Look, Holyfield wants it. I talked to Evander a couple of months ago, and he thought he was going to get it. So I could see Tyson Holyfield 3 at the exhibition.
Oh, God. What year, what decade am I in? Hey, I know you're busy doing your NBA preview. We appreciate your time as always, Chris. Thank you.
Anytime, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. I just saw this news. Michael Penix, he is the quarterback for Indiana, expected to miss the rest of the season because of the lower leg injury he suffered on Saturday, per source. He's been great this year and went toe-to-toe with Justin Fields in Columbus when Indiana lost by a touchdown there. Let's bring in Maurice Jones-Drew, the NFL Network analyst, former great running back. And he led the NFL in rushing, I think, in 2011. He's the Rams color analyst, and he joins us now. You can follow him on Twitter, at MJD. Do you think you could have played quarterback in the NFL like we saw with the Broncos yesterday?
You know, I'm glad you asked that question. That was a great question to start with. You know, in my career, I'm 1 for 2. With an interception and a touchdown. So, you know, I'm going to be high risk, high reward. I felt like, you know, the Broncos were kind of put in a horrible situation. But, you know, if you have a running back, it was just weird to see them put a practice squad college quarterback there. When you have a running back, you could just run wildcat the whole game. We saw the Carolina Panthers do it. I would have did it. Like, when I was in Jacksonville, I was the emergency quarterback. And we had a package set up where we'd run 6 or 7 plays, 2 passes, 5 runs, and we were just going to make it work.
Well, plus you have somebody who's on the practice squad, doesn't even get any reps in practice whatsoever. Should that game have been played yesterday, Mo?
Yeah, I don't think so, because then one team has a serious competitive advantage. And you saw how you were able to move the Ravens-Steelers game back to Tuesday. I felt like they should have moved the Saints-Broncos game back to Tuesday as well. And, you know, then you have a short week, but you give the team at least an opportunity to compete. And to be honest, like, I felt like if Denver would have had a quarterback, the game might have been a completely different game, because Taysom Hill didn't play like he did against the Falcons. So you might have had an opportunity to steal that one.
I love this tweet by Kevin Clark. He says, the idea of a game without quarterbacks is more fun than an actual game without quarterbacks. I tuned in and I quickly went, this game isn't it. I'm not watching this. This isn't entertaining at all. And now it leads me to the question about Baltimore against Pittsburgh. Baltimore's practice was canceled this morning by the NFL. Snow in the forecast tomorrow in Pittsburgh, so they're not even sure about their flight to Pittsburgh. Should this game be played tomorrow in Pittsburgh?
Well, it has to. I think you like you've done everything in your power to make sure that Baltimore can put a team together. They have a quarterback. They have multiple. I mean, RG3 is there. They have guys that can go. There's not one position that doesn't, you know, you don't have guys for. So you've given Baltimore every opportunity to try to figure this thing out. They need to go out there and play. I mean, I think it's a completely different circumstance than the Denver Broncos, who got told on, what is it, Friday night or Saturday morning, that all their quarterbacks can't play, where Baltimore is known kind of what's going on. And you can do the virtual thing. We've seen it. Big Ben didn't practice all week, came out and had a big day. Like, so, you know, in the NFL, too, this is the other thing I had to tell you. In the NFL, it's less about you have to be mentally prepared to go out there and make plays. And so I think the virtual meetings and understanding what you have to do, you've already repped those things a million times. And I know this is a pivotal game for the Baltimore Ravens, but whatever happened in your organization, you know, the league has given you opportunities to kind of try to right the ship. I think they need to play this game and get this week over with.
Who does Derrick Henry remind you of when he runs?
Some people say Eddie George. I mean, I don't think there's a guy like him. And I always tell people this, like, Derrick Henry's never that good of a running back in September and October, early parts of November. But come Thanksgiving, for some reason, he just starts running like a madman. He's going to rush for 1,000 yards in the next 6 weeks. And, you know, he'll close out the season with leading the league in rushing. And he's going to lead the Tennessee Titans to another playoff run because people don't want to tackle someone that weighs 250 pounds. And, you know, he's great in space. He has short, which for such a big, lanky guy, which they call like high cut, he has great short area quickness. And so, and to be honest, it's more of a mental factor. A lot of people don't want to tackle him when it gets cold because they know it hurts. And so we saw that against the Indianapolis Colts, and he's going to keep doing that. And so I think he's in a league of his own when it comes to guys. I mean, I guess you could say Jerome Bettis, but people were still trying to tackle Jerome when it got cold. Just people just don't want to tackle Derrick Henry right now.
But what's that like when you know they don't want to tackle you? Their job is to tackle you, and then they make business decisions to – how do you not tackle somebody?
Well, you know, it hurts. You know, I think it's like, you know, if you get hit in the face with a bat, you don't want to step in the batting cage again for a while while someone's swinging. You're like, that kind of hurt a little bit. Maybe I'll just sit behind this fence and watch. For those DBs, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, look, I just tackled this dude. Why am I tackling him? Why is a corner and a safety? This is for linebackers. And then linebackers are like, look, you're getting this guy a five-yard head start, okay? D-line, it's your job. And the D-line's like, look, I'm trying to come off block. I'm not trying to put my face out there so he get ran over, too. It hurts. It's a business. Like you said, it's like, do I want to take this pain or not? Some people don't want to. Well, most people don't want to.
That terrible loss for the Rams yesterday, you know, they had a great comeback, and then you lose to the 49ers here. But I will say, watching Aaron Donald, I know that we can put Mahomes wherever we want to put him, but as far as the guy that is just better than everybody else on the field, you know, is Aaron Donald. It's scary. Even double-teaming him, he's a phenomenon. He truly is. And he's going to be one of those guys where we look at his numbers when it's all said and done, we're going to go, he only had like 72 sacks. And he's so much more dominant than any other defensive player in the game. You get to see him all the time.
Oh, listen, first of all, just talk about that game. It seems like the Niners and Kyle Shanahan, they're just a kryptonite to the Rams. They just know how to play them. They know how to neutralize Donald for most of the game, not all of it. They know how to get under Jared Goff's skin. And so they've done it again, right, with Nick Mullins, and they found a way to get the game going. But it was crazy calling that game. Like, everybody's spirits were low because it was like time is running out. Like, something, you have to make a play. And on the broadcast, my partner, J.B. Long, we were talking to DeMarco Farr, and I was like, the defense has to score here on this drive. And then sure enough, Aaron Donald does what Aaron Donald does and gets a strip, creates a fumble, a forced fumble there, and Troy Hill picks it up. And then on the next series, gets a sack right after, right? And a guy who hadn't had a tackle in 2 weeks, didn't have a quarterback, had a couple quarterback pressures but not a sack, comes up with a tipped the ball that got intercepted, impacted his game like crazy, and it's because they needed it. And so it's funny to say that because the Rams have another great defensive player in Jalen Ramsey, but you can see the difference, you know, with Aaron Donald, what he's able to do. And it's he's normally getting doubled and triple teamed, and it's allowing these other guys to make plays, and he's still leading the league in sacks, which is crazy, right? And so we take it for granted how great he is. But what I do love about him more than anything, Dan, is that he's never satisfied, right? He's always upset. He's always frustrated. He wants more. And I think that's what makes the greats great, is that, like, you're just not satisfied with a phenomenal performance because it wasn't good enough to win. And so he's going back to work, and he's getting back, and I think everybody's getting back to work, getting ready to get after it.
What was your Super Bowl pick?
Oh, it was the Chiefs-Bucks early on. Some people had the Saints, some had the Rams. I think the Rams still have a chance if they match up with the proper team. But I believe, you know, right now, as good as Pittsburgh is, undefeated season and all those, like the Kansas City Chiefs, like I tell people this all the time, Dan. This is people are like you're crazy. The only way to beat the Kansas City Chiefs is if you score 40 points. The only way. In a bad game against the Raiders, they lost 32-40. So you have to be able to put up 40 points and have an offense to do that. And if you can't, you know, sucks to be you, kind of thing.
It's great to talk to you. Hope you're doing well.
You know, I'm doing the best I can with all this lockdown. You know. Trying to just stay busy and keep educating and entertaining through you know, our life of sports, which is awesome. But I hope you're doing well as well. I hope everything for you is working out. And what city are you living in now?
I'm in Connecticut. I'm everything's great. You know, I get to go to the man cave every day, and I got a golf simulator in here, got a basketball hoop, got a grill. Beer on tap.
So real quick, can we switch checks? Because I mean, I'm just trying to get that too one day when I grow up. Just a golf simulator and a man cave, like.
Yeah, but you got that NFL money. You got NFL running back money, man.
Yeah, you know they don't value running backs like they used
to.
I know. They just need you to win a bunch of games. They need you to close out games. They just don't give us the money to do such. So we'll see how it goes.
Would you sign a running back to a second contract?
I would, depending on what he's able to bring to the table. I think that's with every position, though. Like, I believe that a lot of people, we sign quarterbacks just because we're supposed to sign quarterbacks. Like, I'm not signing a quarterback unless he's exceptional. I'll just draft another one. And the same thing with a running back. I'm not going to sign a running back or an offensive lineman.
But if I gave Dallas a do-over, Mojo, would you have re-signed Zeke Elliott?
No question.
No, you don't want to give him that money. No, he's giving you his best year. He's got a backup who's just as good.
See, that's where you guys are being disrespectful. I think in this situation, what Zeke did for the Dallas Cowboys, let's remember when they went 13-3, Zeke led the league in rushing.
Oh, no, that was then.
Can I finish? I'm about to tell you. So you go out and you get all these toys, and you, Kellen Moore, stops running the ball. That's why Dallas was so bad early in the year last year. They weren't running the ball. They didn't want to run the ball late. But by that point, he's not in rhythm. He's a rhythm back. So you got to start getting him carries early on. And so you were leaning on Dak, who led the league in passing and all this. And guess what? You went 8-8. But when you ran the ball and Zeke was doing what he was supposed to do and you were doing those things, you were winning games. And that's the problem with this league. So many people are enamored with the Kansas City Chiefs and what they're able to do with Patrick Mahomes. But not every team is built that way. You need to run the ball in this league to win. And look at the NFC East. Look at their running backs right now. There's a reason. I mean, I would say the Washington football team, excuse me, I almost slipped up. They have the best back right now in the NFC East, and they're about to win this division. Dallas is beat up. They can't do much of anything. The Eagles are probably the healthiest, well, becoming one of the more healthier teams. But they're not running the ball worth anything. And to be honest, the Giants, if they had Saquon, they'd be winning this whole thing as well. But you have to be committed to the running game. When you pay a guy $90 million, utilize him. That's what you're supposed to do. Not say, oh, we're going to use him as a decoy. We just have a great piece in the backfield. Utilize him.
I wouldn't have re-signed McCaffrey. I wouldn't have re-signed Zeke Elliott.
So would you re-sign Dak because he got hurt?
Well,
would you have franchised Dak?
Yes. I would have signed.
Why?
I said I would have signed Dak 18 months ago when they could have gotten a bargain for him, and then Jerry waited and waited and waited. But yeah.
Okay. Would you have signed Carson Wentz?
Yes.
Why?
Well, he would have been the MVP in the season that they went to the Super Bowl.
You told me. Don't tell me about that stuff in the past.
No, but that was in the moment when I was going to sign him. Would I sign him now? If you're asking me now, I'd say no. But back then,
we signed him 2 years ago. We didn't sign him after the Super Bowl. We let him play another year, and then we signed him after, and he was doing the same thing he's doing now.
I would have signed him.
So you had that quarterback bias. You believe all quarterbacks.
No, I don't understand why next man up makes more than the next guy. Like Jared Goff, Jimmy Garoppolo should not make anywhere near what these other good, great quarterbacks.
So Jared Goff has more wins than Carson Wentz and all those other dudes. You know that, right? That's what the game is about, winning. If you go and look up the stat, he has more wins than Carson Wentz.
Well, neither's going anyplace anytime soon.
But you wouldn't pay Jared Goff, but you'd pay Carson Wentz? That's where I'm confused.
Well, I've seen Carson Wentz play at an MVP level. I haven't seen Jared Goff play at an MVP level.
I haven't seen Carson Wentz play at any level in the last, like,
but
year
did
and
he
half.
Play at an MVP level? Has Jared Goff played at an MVP level at any point in his NFL career?
No, but who else has?
No, that's the point. Okay. I just said he's at least played at a very high level. Is he flawed now? Absolutely.
Okay, so this is my because I have this conversation all the time with people, and I love that we're having it here. This is my issue with Carson Wentz, and I tell people this all the time. If you can't win from the pocket, you will never win in the NFL. You can have the ability to scramble and do certain things, yes, but that can't be your number one attribute. That can't be you can't be an improviser. Improvisers don't win in this league. You have to be able to throw from the pocket. Carson Wentz is what we call an improviser. He scrambles to try to make the big play. He's always thinking about the big play. What you get with Jared Goff is you get the same play. It may dip a little bit, but then that consistency comes back, and you'll have a game.
Yeah, but you do the Rams games. You're speaking as a Rams analyst here.
I'm speaking as an NFL analyst.
Okay, Russell Wilson, how many plays does he make from the pocket? Russell Wilson, you want Jared Goff over Russell Wilson?
How many interceptions did he throw when they went on the last 3-4 games? He threw 10.
Well, he did.
Right? You get the good with the bad. Get the good with the bad. If he gets hot, you're good. Like, I'd rather take Aaron Rodgers over, let me not say Aaron Rodgers, because him and Patrick Mahomes are on another level. Let me give you another quarterback. Let me think. I'd rather take
Matt Ryan.
I'd rather take Matt Ryan
over Russell Wilson.
That's tough because Russell throws from the pocket. Russell's special, but he has bad games. Like, I don't know. Like, I prefer consistency to the quarterback position. I don't like the streaky guys. Give me Drew Brees. Give me Drew Brees, who doesn't throw the ball over 20 yards, but he's consistent week after week after week. Or give me Teddy Bridgewater. I'll take Teddy B over a lot of these quarterbacks, because I know what I'm going to get week after week, and I can game plan for it.
You want Kyler Murray or Matt Ryan?
Oh, I'll take Matt Ryan all day. And people are going to be like, you're crazy. But Kyler Murray right now, listen, I'm going to tell you why. Kyler Murray leads his team in rushing and rushing touchdowns. He's a running back playing quarterback. Like, he throws the ball. He's doing what Lamar did last year, which is awesome. But you have to win from the pocket, man. If you can't win from the pocket in this game, you will never win.
When the Rams went to the Super Bowl. This started with me just saying, I hope you're doing well.
It started with you saying something negative about my team and the running backs, and talking about these quarterbacks, man. I just can't pay everybody.
I'm not paying Zeke Elliott.
Which running back are you? You're not going to play Christian McCaffrey after what he's done?
He hadn't played.
Neither is Dak. But you said you paid Dak.
Yes, because he's a franchise quarterback, and you got to have – if you don't have a franchise quarterback –
We could draft those guys in the fourth round, man. Don't give me that.
That's where they got him.
We could draft those guys in the sixth round. I don't want to hear that. Those guys anywhere.
Go Bruins.
Give me a running back in the first round. I'm going to get him for 5 years. Then I'll let someone else pay him if he's not special. But if he's a magical player like Alvin Kamara or Christian McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook – I'm going to make those. I see. This is my concern.
I got to go. I got to go.
I'll see you later, but I appreciate the conversation.
All right. Love you. All right. Thank you, Mojo. All right. That's Maurice Jones-Drew.